Hello, hello, hello. Happy Sunday, folks. Shavua Tov. That means a good week to a good new week. In Hebrew, of course. If you don't know Hebrew, that's okay. The show is in English. But occasionally we like to use some Hebrew terms since it is Sunday school and it's a Jewish show. So you might stick around in the show and learn some Hebrew words. Or you might learn some fashion tips like from Jason here, also known as...
Oh, Chief Bigham Head. I'm Indian. No.
What? Yeah, I think that's more,
I'm
looks
transracial.
Like
racial.
Pakistan or something.
I'm an Indian.
Like from India?
I'm calling on my Indian ancestry to help me do the show.
I thought you found out that you were actually Turkish or something.
Shh, be quiet. Don't say these things.
Don't let anybody know
don't
that.
Don't let anybody know.
So, as you may know, it is Sunday, and I try to do Bible Sunday School every other Sunday. I don't know if we've been exactly keeping up with every other Sunday. So maybe sometimes it's been two Sundays in a row. I don't remember exactly, and that's okay, but we try to do it as often as possible. And the purpose of it is to do basically Jewish education with Echo. So, obviously, you don't have to be Jewish to watch the show. But if you want to learn Jewish stuff without it being too stuffy or judgmental of an atmosphere, I think this would be a good place to start.
Well, today we talk about Hesed.
Get a little bit closer to the mic, sir.
So today we talk about Hesed.
Hesed.
Hesed. Hesed.
So
Hesed.
Hesed means loving kindness, essentially. So when you see somebody that calls himself a Hasidic Jew, they say that they're Hasidic or they're Hasidish. The root of that is suggesting that they really, really, really love Judaism. They really, really love Torah. Of course, some of them, as individuals, you know, maybe have different opinions, feelings, or whatever, but that's what the meaning originally was supposed to be. And what we now know as a Hasidic Jew is actually like, a new thing.
I'm trying not to tell a joke, right?
No, it doesn't have to be too serious. We can be fun as long as it's just not.
If you see,
don't profane it. You know,
see a Hasid, go ask him for candy. Say, do you have candy in your pocket?
Well, Purim is coming up. They probably will have candy. Actually,
yeah. You might be surprised. I'd be pleasantly surprised. You might go to a Jewish guy who's never done that before and say, do you have any candy in your pockets? He's like, sure.
Right. Yeah. Especially Purim, like, we give out candy.
You go by what the media tells you, and the media always makes Jews look like this small insular group of Orthodox Jews.
Yeah. There's in the media, there's two Jews. There's like the gay liberal Hollywood guy. And then the Hasidic Jew with the side curls and the beard, and that's all they know. They don't even know that the women of the Hasidic world exist. It's always the guy with the beard.
Have you ever told this, but during the Holocaust, a Hasid visited the rabbi of Poland, and he goes, why do they keep going after us and not the rich Jews that live in Luxembourg and Berlin? And he says, well, when you want to slap somebody, where do you do it? You slap them in the face. And Hasidism is the face of Judaism, whether we like it or not.
Yeah,
it's supposed to designate their love for Torah, and Torah is their art, as the rabbi said recently, and it designates that they love the Torah.
Well, they're definitely more.
They prepare for the Torah like they do a date,
right?
Like they get their clothes clean, mm-hmm. They get cleaned up, and they make sure they don't have.
Oh, especially like for Shabbat, right?
Yeah, well, they do that, and a lot of them. She was full of young men who were studying Torah and Talmud. And probably coming up with some great fucking stuff, but you don't really know because it's not the nature of the way things work.
You know,
but according to the rabbi, like, it's funny we're talking about this because recently, I have to look it up on my phone exactly, but I'll post it. He said something along the lines of, without Torah, we wouldn't have survived all these years. And they studied Torah. And their study of the Torah is what betters the soldiers and betters the people. And I think
that's true. That's true.
Because he kind of got some weird clothing.
Where he looked like some kind of tripped out king.
Yosef Raisin Head guy or whatever they
get.
It's like
I think you're talking about his son. The son of Obadiah Yosef is Yitzhak. Yosef.
They kind of look like traditional Alibabas.
They look like some kind of tripped out king from like a mystical book or something. You know, they have a very visible, you notice the chief party rabbi, you look at him and you're like, whoa, this dude is like, it's the leader of something. Even if you don't know anything about Judaism, you look at this guy, you're like, whoa, he's like the head of some serious shit.
You know, I've been doing tefillin for many years, and I just now found out that they already have another way to wrap it.
I'll tell him, what is tefillin?
Tefillin is the Jewish black prayer garb. You know what I like to call them? It's God's pager. It's old school. It's his page.
But I mean, like physically, what it's the thing you wrap on your arm. It's like you've seen Jews with the leather straps.
The leather straps bound on the arm. Comes from the saying in the Torah that they will bind their arms.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. I was talking about something else and I forgot.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. It happens to me on the road.
It's Sunday school. What you gonna do? Sometimes you forget things and you're on a mystical path and you go into a deeper thing, and because that other thing that you originally thought of wasn't supposed to be the thing that you were supposed to talk about, that's what happens. So, you know, we're talking about
Chesed and Rabbi.
Chesed, loving kindness.
Torah was the reason why the young boys studying is the reason why it worked. The reason why you survive. And I wonder about that, because what about the ladies? They don't pitch into that equation.
Well, I mean, they study Torah too, but they're just not required to attend to and study to the level of the men, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a woman is required to study Torah because she has to understand, even in the most orthodox, how she's going to have to know what she needs to do as a woman of the household as far as purity laws, what mitzvah she's bound to.
You know, speaking of purity laws, I found out recently that they were written Islamic purity laws concerning a lot of sexual issues were written by a Jew. He was an Iraqi Jew who was living in diaspora. They liked him so much that they said, will you write out these jurisprudence dealing with sexual matters?
So that's interesting. No, I didn't know that.
I have to post.
There have been a couple.
I have my phone in front of me this time.
There have been a couple Jews who have converted to Islam that have been influential in their world. But to be fully honest, I have not done much research in that realm.
Well, you know, Islam would enjoy itself better if it would protect Jews studying the Torah. Always been my view. But, you know, that's another realm of getting away from what Hasid means.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
No, yeah, you're right. Because we're trying to say that what is love? Love for oneself. The Hasid understands that don't steal from no one means don't even steal from yourself. So how many people
correct
can understand that? Like, correct. You can't even steal from you. So,
I agree.
So how would the idea of love and kindness fit into such a strict situation is what I guess.
Well, in the ancient Jewish world, there were also a different, previous, completely separate group of people who were known as Hasidim. And but they're not like the Hasidim, like Hasidic Jews that we know of today, that are like influenced by the Baal Shem Tov and these specific like mystical teachings. You know, back then a Hasid was just anybody, was just meant like someone who really loved the Torah. It wasn't a specific style of garb or a sect or anything like that. You know, it was just like a generic term for somebody who loved the Torah. But now it has, like you say, a Hasid, and it specifically means those guys with the beards.
Jews were indecipherable. They were either religious or the non-religious. Like nowadays you have different factions.
You have people that go in between the realms as well.
Where, you know, scrambling, suddenly they're home.
Well, the other thing is that, like, for example, I mean, I guess you get semi-political for a second, but made me think of like Neturi Karta.
Well, where is the Stremel in the Torah?
You need to stay a little closer to Mike, I think. Right. There's no Stremel in the Torah. No, there's no 1700s fashion, right? None of that is in there. But I mean, there's also not a telephone or a car. I mean, there's going to be, you know, things that you use and do and wear and everything, you know, in the modern world that obviously we're not in the Torah. But I think like when we talk about Hesed and Hasid, like, you're not connected to this sound system.
Bet your ass.
Something else.
To that sound system.
But I think like Neturi Karta, like those are those like hardcore anti-Zionist, Haredi Jews. I think like I don't think they should be called that, you know, because they don't have like loving kindness. They seem very hateful towards their fellow Jews. I mean, they'd be out there burning Israeli flags. I even saw them dress up in Holocaust costumes before.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Where do you draw the line? And you say, okay, well, you guys are cosplaying for sure because you don't really feel that way.
Well, I think there's this like untouchable element of the Hasidic world where you just see the guy, he's got the hair, he's got the beard, you figure he lives like that. He's really strict about it. But how do we know any of these guys are like that? And how do we know they don't have hired actors that come out and be, well, go out there and be Hasidic for us, you know? Because I saw them carrying big ass signs against Zionism at a march in Washington on Shabbat. You're supposed to demonstrate for the people Israel on Shabbat, not against. So like what I'm saying is if they're Hasidic and they love the Torah and they're so observant, then why are they doing something that's against, they're breaking Shabbat rules in order to go and appease the Palestinians?
This is a case of the bully is walking around the school and he's telling everybody, you know, I'm going to beat the crap out of little Timmy. And everybody's like, well, what does little Timmy do? And he goes, it doesn't matter. I'm going to beat the crap out of him. And a lot of times people are going to go to see little Timmy get the crap beat out of him because they're going to side with the bully. They don't want to get bullied. They're going to make the bully feel like we're with you, buddy. Go ahead and beat.
No, that's bad, but true.
Poor Timmy,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, and Israel, the only thing that they're ever going to be able to do is show that the loving kindness by number one, beating the fuck out of Hamas. Number two, rebuilding the Gaza Strip. It has to be done.
It's got to be totally changed. Yeah.
Solution at this point, something has to be done with these people.
I think the first of all, that's.
Well, how could
it's not realistic.
True, but how can we say loving kindness if we allowed them to fall the way we did as Jews, you know, like to the Egyptians?
You mean to be refugees or whatever?
Refugees, a tournament.
Well, the thing is,
a roving pack.
Well, simple answer is Jordan.
People don't seem to understand that. They started with the north of Israel, okay? They drove the thing and they pushed bulldozers and people all the way south to Rafah. And then in the middle of it, they built a road that cuts both of these two provinces in half. Okay, that's the update from over there. But
you mean at the north, at the border of Israel, not north of Israel?
No.
Sorry, I thought I was like.
Inside Israel.
Yeah.
Inside Israel proper. They pushed all these refugees. You got 4 million south going toward Rafah. That's why Rafah, there will be a military action in Rafah because of.
What I don't understand is why. Why would you keep your child in an area that there's going to be war? And like,
if we get conflicting reports, because you've seen the ones where the young kids are talking about, look, we're not going to eat the food from the great Satan.
Right.
They dropped out of the planes from us because we know that it's poison. This they're bred this way, this struggling Klingon type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are hateful and you know, yeah, I can understand if I was going through what they were going through, yeah, anyone could empathize, you know, but
yeah.
Realistically, this has gone too far, you know, where it's like these people are obviously bred each generation to hate.
We're paying for it. Well, we have been UNRWA and all that.
We give Lebanon what 55 million.
I don't know how many we give too many.
Too much to Lebanon.
Too many ducats to all of these fucking beggars.
Too much to these places where you know Joe Biden was quick to put a port in Israel as this is the answer to the question. Put a port there and so humanitarian aid can be.
They already killed 8 Palestinians with dropping the aid on their heads, literally.
What about East Palestine, Ohio?
Because he doesn't care about American people.
To an American town that suffered a tragedy as well,
mm-hmm.
and help them. He had sent them ice cream or donuts, you know, and he proves that over and over again throughout his presidency that he's the man for every American that votes for him. He's not
primarily. Yeah.
You know the thing, Jack.
Yeah, you know the thing. You're going to have to vote for somebody else.
Yeah, everybody's going to
vote for somebody else. And we did, you know.
So it is what it is. But Hess said it goes a long way. Because with the Jews, no other army announces with drones that, hey, we are going to be here in 2 hours to do 4 sorties. We're going to walk the streets with guns. We're going to have dogs. We're going to have bombing. There's going to be no drone surveillance 24/7 over your area. We're the only ones that warn them. Does Israel, does Iran warn people? Does Russia warn Ukraine? Does Ukraine
none of
warn
these
Russia?
People do any type of
does
moral
warn Ghana
stuff.
When they do things to their thing? You know,
no.
They have parts of, what was it, Ghana that we were watching? Ghana. They have French guys on the border that are got guns trained on Ghana.
The idea.
I'm scared Ghana's going to spill off into France.
You know, into that French
into that
territories.
They can get into the French territory.
Yeah. You know, all of these different armies around the world, they're not even comparable with the IDF. Well, with the approach and the type of requirements and all of these ethical and moral concerns that they are required to take into consideration, whereas not even American troops are, I mean, we try, you know, to be the good guys and stuff like that, but we've done some very dirty, dastardly shit too. And as you all know, and the approach of the IDF is always to, you know, to look good as Jews. And I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, militarily a winning strategy for normal people, but as Jews, we have God on our side to help us still win, even though we're doing these nice guy things that would normally make people lose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just posted a video of them into Negev City, dancing the new Torah, Sefer Torah, into the place. Everywhere they've gone in Gaza, they've been able to put a Torah in, and those are historic deeds where, don't forget, God gave you their land.
Right. It's not...
you guys didn't take it with your thing, and blood has been shed for it. Many, many, many men now have died.
Well, every time...
They call it Operation into Gaza.
Well, when we gave up Gaza in 2005...
Forgive my skepticism. I don't disrespect the government at this point in juncture, because I believe that a good over 90% of the government...
You mean the Israeli government?
People agree with it there. It's not like it is here. A lot of them are soldier people, and they understand what's at stake. Hamas,
I think it's mixed, you know.
I think it's not like America where it's 50-50.
Yeah, it's more people are especially now after October 7th, more solid.
Except that you have to fight back against something that wants to.
Yeah, you have to fight back against terror. You can't just let these people be...
You can't just be silent if a snake comes into your house, and you, just because you think it's scary or pretty, whatever you do think of the snake, if it gets you or your family, it will take their lives away. So you're going to have to learn to chop its head off, grab it by its tail, and throw it.
And that's a good point that you bring up about Chesed, because that's one of the differences between Judaism and Christianity. Christianity believes in turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
Right? Where we believe that if someone comes to kill you, arise and kill him first. And why is that? It's because of loving kindness, and the way that we're interpreting that is that suicide is a sin.
Also,
your life is not yours to give away. Just like the land of Israel is not ours to give away, and we pay in blood every time we give these fucking Palestinians any of God's land.
Yeah. Also, Hesed could be like interpreted as this. Okay, you have a snake that comes into the house. I'm going to use the same story. You have a snake that comes into the house, and he comes in, and obviously you dispatch him so he doesn't hurt your family, right? You cut his head off and you dispose of his body, because it was God's will. God wanted him to come somewhere where he would be humanely euthanized by a person that was a Jew. It would be a kosher, clean cut. You know, we wouldn't make him suffer.
Right, you're not going to torture the thing all like a freak or something.
Hang it up on our wall afterwards. There, we have certain, you know, rules concerning death that we adhere to as, and I adhere to these kind of rules even before Judaism. I was more strict about, you know, no respect for the dead. It's a big thing, you know. And
yeah, it's just being a decent type of person.
Sometimes your enemy needs to be killed. So you're doing what, unfortunately,
right, yeah,
what God has ordained. I mean, some people have a hard time with both. the happy and the sad parts, like Mr. Rogers says, you know?
Well, some people...
Like happy and sad parts, everyone has that in common.
And the issue is that people try to interpret it themselves rather than just deal with the concrete reality, where they come, like I said, if someone comes to kill you, arise and kill them first. Not like, well, I think this guy doesn't like me. I'm going to go and find him and kill him.
No.
They're two different things. And people try to mix it up and say, well, my enemy must be killed. I'll hunt him down and kill him. No, if you're hunting him down, you're the enemy that needs to be killed now.
Here's another story. I was downtown and a guy stole our parking place. And when we got out, my friends were all like, Jason, why didn't you tell him, hey, fuck you, motherfucker, yourself? So I said, it's just why. And everybody watched as when he tried to back out of the parking place, he got into an accident. And I said, you see, if I would have intervened and said, hey, you motherfucker, you pissed us off and took our parking place, I would have gotten away of God, actual divine retribution on this person.
That's a good story.
I was going to smash him down for what he did according to what the nature of what his act was. And there's a lot of people out there who look at this world as if those rules aren't in play. And that's why Jewishness, it has an element that a lot of other religions don't have, a forced element of care, discriminating with care. Ultimate sense, you know.
I'm not going to judge the other religions on what they have or don't. Maybe they deep down
the
have
something. I've studied.
In our interpretation, that's the way I like to put it. It's like the way we look at it is like this, you know. However other niggas want to look at it, go ahead and look at it your weird way. You want to do Christian, Buddhist, flying pasta, spaghetti monster, whatever.
I don't see a problem with anything that takes you on a path to God, because you're going to find the same one at the end of your journey, all of you. Hopefully it will be the same one that we all know, you know. It's just not, if you don't know, you don't know yet. You aren't there.
Well, you want, like, when you say, like, path to God, like, I feel like people are already coming from God. And to me, it's like, it's just like remembering that root, you know?
So to them, they're like,
yeah, because they hate where they came from. If you hate God, you hate yourself, because each person is created b'tzelem Elohim, in the image of God. So if you hate God, that means you hate yourself. And you very rarely will come across people who are proud, self-confident, positive, accomplished people who also say they hate God. It's just extremely rare. People who are atheists tend to be, first of all, that, you know, atheism isn't real. They're hardwired to believe in some type of higher power. So if they don't believe in God, they believe in some other crap. They believe in Jedi or magic or Wicca or some other crap. But the people who identify, right, as atheists, they have a warped viewpoint on what is good and bad already. So they are enveloped in negative behaviors. Even the guy who's like makes a lot of money, for example, and he's an atheist, he's still doing negative things and carrying out a negative attitude. You know what I mean? So he's doing unhealthy things in his life, you know?
That's it. It's about tempering your judgment, because you're not God. You're not allowed to make the judgment for everyone about people, but you are allowed to make the judgment about your own situation. And
right.
If you look at your own
situation, in your own interactions,
with loving kindness, and say, you know, I can't stand my neighbor. He fucking makes me want to go over there, grab him by his fucking face, and choke him, and beat him against the fucking wall like a rag doll.
Everybody's having those neighbors that gets on your nerves that bad, right?
Or one of those days where you're just like, no, I'm just not having it today.
Yeah, you're just not there for it, right?
Yeah.
You have to ignore those impulses to
Judaism
beat the shit out of your bad neighbor.
And to and balance how you feel so that, you know, you understand that duality is a lie. It's not real. There's no duality. Just the one thing.
Well, people think because there's day and that there's night, that there's duality. But they're all part of the one cycle.
Big fucking yank to compare day and night to somebody else's whims or their,
well, the
personality, right?
The idiot that separates day and night and doesn't realize they're all part of one cycle. You know, there's not like a day cycle and then the separate thing of night. They're linked, you know, I mean, because as it's nighttime in one part of the world, it's daytime in another. So, you know, they don't function independently. So it's kind of like crazy to suggest that there's everything is dualism and, you know, that's that shit that, two spirit, two genders, I have multiple people in me, but they're trying to act like they have multiple personalities.
Stick our best at.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Because Judaism teaches us, people, I had somebody say the other day that, but you guys are all, you know, open-minded to trans people and gay people and stuff. Jews imported these things.
First of all, Jews did not tell you to go put on a dress. If you put on a dress and you're a dude, something weird in your head or your mom told you to do this. It's not Jews.
Something weird in your head.
Or your mom. But realistically, there have always been gay people. There's always been people that fall in between the gender roles, the sex roles, and things like that. Normalizing it and saying it's preferable is an unhealthy behavior, and that has never been a Jewish thing. You know, just because you ran into somebody who was gay and Jewish doesn't mean that Judaism promotes gay. Yeah, you know?
The art museums have commercials about the museum, not try to get you to join the museum.
Right, that's what you, well, when you get their pamphlet, that's on the back page.
Yeah, sure, but that's, it's not the main approach. And
right.
I think a lot of gay things are like, yo, join us, be gay, you know, come on out.
Everybody, like, come for pride. Pride is for everyone, yeah, and trans kids.
I see how it is, but realistically, what they're saying to you is come join something that says everything that is out there means nothing. And this new
way, it's a nihilistic way.
Yeah, this new way is the way to do things. So Hesed comes in handy, you know, because you have people out there who are horrible people. So you have to learn to temper how you feel with them. And when they fall, I don't rejoice.
It doesn't always mean being nice, right? You know, right. Exactly.
No, it never does.
Loving kindness isn't the same thing as being nice. And I think a lot of people
shooting your horse because you care about it is not the same thing as, you know,
right.
Loving them.
Because when you're talking about being nice, when you're talking about being nice, like, you can be nice and it's bullshit. You know, you're just being nice to placate somebody or to rush them out of your way or to hurry up or because you work a customer service job and you have to be nice or something like that. You know what I mean? But loving kindness, you might be telling somebody, hey, man, you need to change what you're doing with your life.
No, you know how,
you know,
you know how you go to the thing and you say, oh, well, you know, I see Eduardo brought donuts in, but, you know, he didn't bring any in for me last time. So fuck him. I didn't bring any in for him.
And he's holding a grudge.
All like, is God hates that the most, where he's like, oh, don't damage one another over
right.
this world, you know?
Right.
And loving kindness is something like that too, where it's up to you to judge the situation and say, do I do this here? Could this just hurt everybody? Why would I do it if it would just hurt everybody?
Because sometimes you're going to tell somebody something in love and they're not going to take kindly to it, but you were saying it in kindness. You know what I mean? So there's like, you know, where you tell somebody they need to change their lifestyle. They need to quit drinking, doing drugs. They need to, you know, stop being a hoe. I don't know. You know, like whatever the thing is, something that is really going to really good for them, but they just don't want to hear it. You know, that's what you have to do. Well, that's part of loving kindness. You know,
misrepresented. You know, like some people think that, oh, well, you know, you're religious. It means you do this. And it's like, you don't know a fucking thing about
it. Well, first of all, most people outside of the Jewish world really don't have any idea about what religious Jews do. And when they say religious Jews, they almost only picture the Hasid with the long beard, and they don't even realize that there's a whole spectrum of religiosity and different levels and interpretations of observance, from, you know, what, like what we do, which is considered like, I guess, Masorti or, you know, neo-traditional or something like that.
Neo-Hasidic.
Yeah, you know, but then there's like trad Hasidic groups, like, you know, like mainstream, like Chabad. But then there's like Reform Jews, but they still, even though we don't consider them, you know, as observant, sorry, as other Jews.
Even though we don't broke down how I met, the true judges of the Lord.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, in common parlance,
gauging that behavior.
Yeah, in common parlance, you'll refer to somebody as a religious Jew. And people, it's a stereotype. They think a Hasid, but there's so many different types of people that consider themselves religious and that keep different rules for Shabbat and different levels of how kosher they keep or what they do for Passover, different things like that. And I always tell people to don't say that just because you're not Orthodox that you're not religious. You know?
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, back in the day, there were two types, religious and non-religious.
I think in the Ashkenazi world, it has created more of a splinter in that aspect than was necessary.
Long-ass prayers. Who wants to sit and pray till fucking noon?
Well, there's different diaspora situations created different things, and they put prayers into their things, and you know, and this added this, and over the years, so this,
like, you know, like, Shema, Israel, and they're like, okay, keep going. What do you, wait a minute, there's a whole other,
no one can interrupt you in the Shema, and Israel.
Let's get so-and-so up here. He's 87 years old up at the Bema. He don't speak Hebrew.
A lick of Hebrew. Right. There can be awkward moments. There can be. Yeah. I mean, it's all.
It works differently.
Yeah. It's. Look, I love all the Jews and all of their weird idiosyncrasies in Minchagim, but a Minchag, by the way, is like a local custom.
If you have any questions about any of the terms we've used, don't, because YouTube won't let more than 10 people look at these.
I think we're actually going live on the Twitch right now.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. We're on Twitch. It's for gaming. Gaming.
Well, somebody needs to make a badass Jewish video game. All the Jewish video games are kind of boring. I haven't found like a badass Jewish video game.
What happened to the skinhead one where there was like a little skinhead and he beat people up?
There was no new updates on that.
Man,
and they stopped.
Boring
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
Boring.
But anyway, all.
I believe in 2024 and some guy told me that stuff that you say back in the 80s. But anyway, yeah, loving kindness is like, it's supposed to be a root of thought. Like Christians, they say, turn the other cheek, right?
And that's not always the best or the most functional.
Turn no cheek to nobody.
It's not.
You can turn the cheek yourself.
Look, in some people's situations, maybe it's okay for them to turn the other cheek.
I turn the cheek to a superior.
But as a when you're a Jew, you're turning the other cheek is showing weakness and is bringing danger towards the other Jews. So therefore, it's forbidden.
It's showing faith in a man.
Well, not just that. The idea of turning the other cheek, especially in the modern day when Jews have faced such persecution and Jews are targeted, the fact that you would get beat up and then not do anything back or not fight back, and you just go, oh, you know, just look, you know, that says, okay, Jews are easy and I can get away with messing with them. And you are making the Jewish people as a whole look bad, because Jews, each Jew is supposed to try to be a good representative, because we are supposed to be bringing the Torah to the world. So if I'm bringing you the Torah and I came, you know, in a thong, and I don't know, vampire teeth and or something, you know, some crazy thing.
Sure.
Then people would probably think it was weird. They would have a weird impression of what that is, right? So each type of person,
it's a temple, if you're paying attention,
right?
Just make it real.
Yeah.
It, synagogue with thong.
But what I'm saying is, there's going to be different things that appeal to different types of people. You know what I mean? And that's, a lot of people are going to be like, that's weird. That's going to turn me off. But the same thing, like looking at this show, seeing people with tattoos, some people might be like, oh, well, that's weird and way out to me. Or somebody that's a totally non-religious Jew that wants just some Jewish content and turns on something and the guy's Hasidic or, Haredi of some really strict variety. And that guy is turned off by that. You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be different approaches for each type of personality type. Oh, they'll listen to a girl talk, but they won't listen to a girl sing. Yeah. That's for sure. That is a sure.
And then the fucking train fell off. thank you for having me on this Sunday school.
Thank you for appearing, Jason.
The Fight Wing podcast. And, if you're paying attention, we're getting close to 100.
On that show, there will be
100 is the final episode, isn't it?
I won't say that. Yeah, it will change into something different after 100 episodes. We'll just put it that way.
Well, of course, but it's still the final episode of that format. Just you're a fighting man.
Don't give too much.
Don't let people know what people want.
Because
they might know that you're doing something, huh?
Yeah, true.
We are going on tour this summer.
That too, but this is not the format for that.
Okay.
Back to Sunday school stuff.
Yeah. Loving kindness and its temperance. That's what we were speaking about.
We're talking,
a lot of people say that that's the essence of everything is love. And Judaism says that the world rests on these three pillars. What are they? You remember that saying?
It's Torah, loving kindness, I think it's Rachamim. Chesed Rachamim. Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, see that you're still remembering something.
But the idea of Chesed is something that we do talk about pretty much every service, right?
It's something to do with everything.
I can't think of a Jewish service that doesn't talk about Chesed.
Well, if it's not to oneself, it's to other Jews or...
Right, loving kindness.
To even your neighbor who's not a Jew, it extends to them.
It's just general loving kindness.
What does loving kindness mean to other people who are religious and not Jewish? You know?
I wonder. I don't know. And if you would like to send us a message or comment and say that.
Martyr friend. Being a martyr.
We're probably going to have him on the Five Wing Show. Yeah, we have a friend that's a he's like a part Jewish background, but he is a Catholic and he's really hardcore and I think he wants to be a saint or something like that. But anyway, we'll learn more about that, not on Sunday school, but during the week. And of course, remember, during the week, you can go and listen to the older episodes of both this Fight Wing Sunday School as well as the regular Fight Wing podcast on Fight Wing Radio on Spotify. So if you just go on Spotify and search for Fight Wing, this one should be up by later tonight. 90.
Fight Wing 90 is later.
So
once we take a break,
we're gonna go ahead and end the stream before this guy gives away too much of our plans for the future. I'm just kidding. And just wanted to say though, thank you for viewing, watching, listening, or whatever if you're
thank
listening
you for having
audio
me, yes.
on Spotify, and thank you for appearing on this episode. Oops. And good night, folks, or good afternoon.